views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Climatech of Professional Air.
Back to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jess. This is News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable. 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. You can find us in the app, and you can join the conversation at 850-437-1620. I have my friend Travis in here from Climatech of Professional Air. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I mean, I'm fabulous.
It's getting warm out there.
It is getting warm out there.
I think we got a little spoiled. We had really a pretty good summer going, and now we've hit some of those really hot days. So
definitely. I may or may not have someone who lives in my house that may be a little dehydrated this morning and not had enough fluids, even though, I mean, you try.
You
to
do.
Keep up.
It's hard to keep up this time of year because you sweat just doing nothing, just being outside.
Thinking.
So, yeah, it's very easy to do that. You know, we have to really cram fluids being outside, and sometimes you just get sick of drinking. That sounds crazy, but
right. I'd rather just hook up to an IV and walk around.
Yeah, that's right. That's about the truth. It is hot. So, you know, this is a time of year where we get a lot of things, a lot of people calling in, you know, wondering or wanting to know what might be going on with their unit. You know, the middle of the day, they see the temp getting up higher than they've got it set to and things like that. And we have a lot of conversations with people about what is to be expected of an AC system this time of year when we do get these days that are, I mean, we're bumping 100 degrees, we're right around it. And when we get to that, our designed AC in our area just, I mean, it's a standard thing across the board, is about 95 degrees. So when we cross that, then our design goes out the window, so to speak. So to see a unit lose a degree or two in the middle of the heat this time of year is not, that doesn't necessarily mean something's wrong.
Right.
If the unit is sized properly and not oversized, and you know, you see it lose a couple degrees, but then it makes it up, and it won't make it up until well after the sun goes down. And that's another thing we talk about a lot with customers. You know, your attic, your brick, your whatever's on the outside of your house, all of that is heated up from the sun. So it doesn't instantly cool off the second the sun peeks behind the trees. It takes another hour or two. And a lot of times that's where, you know, customers will almost want to get argumentative. Well, you know, the sun went down. Well, I know it did, but go in your attic right now. Yeah. It's still as hot as it got.
It worked real hard while it was out.
Really, that's right. And then all of the materials in your house, they warm up. So everything's got to come back down, and it does take a little bit of time. And, you know, always glad to go check stuff for anyone that wants it checked. But at the same time, you hate going out there. Absolutely nothing's wrong.
Right.
You know, you're billing them for going. And so you want to have that conversation beforehand and just kind of know what to expect, especially if you're expecting a really low, you know, a lot of people that like it down 72, 73, and even colder than that. It's a really hard thing for an AC to do this time of year unless it's oversized or, you know, something else that it has a backup source of some kind. So just that's the conversation I think we're seeing more this time of year when we do hit these days where we're pushing 100 degrees. We see some of that.
I've been able to comfortably keep, maybe I sound a little nuts, but comfortably keep mine at 75,
mm-hmm.
and it feels really nice. Sometimes I do drop it down for sure, but is there a specific temperature that you, I mean, I'm sure every home is different, but that you would recommend, like when you're not home, this is an okay temp to keep it at?
I personally, this is not even a recommendation because everybody's different, but we go about 78 when we're not there, and then 76 when we're there, but I do bump it at night. We may go down to 74. So that's just me.
Yeah.
Everybody's a little bit different. I know some people like to sleep really cold. That's where we actually started kind of pushing the mini split for the bedroom option, because instead of turning on a unit, which is 60% of your power bill, to run your house down cold at night to sleep in one room, run that one room down, and the mini splits do it much more affordably than a big unit would. So that's actually a really good option for somebody if they really like sleeping in the cold, and it's, even in this kind of weather, you know, you could have that really cold room in the evenings to sleep in and save yourself a whole lot of money on the power bill. I mean, you may literally pay for the mini split in a matter of no time just with your utility cost.
I mean, even if you have a guest room and you have folks from out of town who just are not used to the heat, that would be, I mean, I'm sitting here going, maybe I should do that.
Yeah, it's neat, and we've got some other options. If you're looking to install a new system, you can actually look into a system that could be zoned where your individual unit that does the whole house can be zoned into bedrooms. So we can cool just the bedrooms at night, not worry about the big main part of the house and things like that. That's another very efficient way to do it. If you don't want mini splits and you don't want to see them in the ceiling or on the wall, that's another option that is a really good option for not only saving money on the energy cost, but getting you more comfortable rooms at night to sleep in these hot, hot days. You can get it where you want it.
If I had a teenage kid, I'd be like, not in their room.
Right. Well, I actually have a teenage kid, and the way we're kind of dividing ours up is we're doing a little renovation now. We're dividing it with the zone system, and the guest bedroom, the guest bath, and his bedroom will be on one zone, the middle of the house on another, and then my bedroom on another. So they would still have some flexibility, but I only give him a sensor. I get the control.
I've got the power.
That's
you
right.
Do not. There's, you know, some things as parents that we have to still put our foot down and be like, we have more power than you.
Yeah, that's right. That's
when you turn 18 or 21 and you're living out beyond, you may have a little bit of power yourself. Or when you have kids of your own, you be like, this moment has come.
Yeah, it's all about paying that utility, you know. Got to pay it.
That is awesome. So I'm just reading down through your website and looking at a few things, and surgical grade steel?
Well, it's probably referring just to our metal duct systems.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's
and it's the same, you know, a metal duct system would be the same metal duct you would have in a hospital facility, a medical facility. The ductwork made of metal and insulated on the outside. You don't have anything inside the ductwork to hold dirt, mold, any of that stuff. So the inside of the ductwork stays very clean. We don't have to worry about fiberglass fibers. We don't have to worry about mold growing in the fiberglass and all that stuff. You know, you don't have to worry about duct cleanings and things like that. All of that stuff takes care of itself. It's more expensive to install, but the air flows better. The air is cleaner. It's just a very good way if you've got the option and you want the cleanest air you can get in your home. That is one of the best ways to do it.
That sounds smart. I mean, think about it. When you go into the operating room, they don't want germs or
That's
dust
right.
or mold and that sort of stuff. Being someone that used to work in the operating room, like, I can put that in my home?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I might choose to do that.
We've got that along with medical grade filtration systems and things. I mean, if you've got high sensitivity and a lot of allergies that you're dealing with, we definitely have done some homes that, I mean, we've done one lady's house in particular. We actually had to clean the metal ductwork with a certain cleaner before we put it in because she was highly allergic to even the oils that were on the oil that were on the metal. And then we put in a really large medical grade filter we got from Switzerland to put in her house next to the air handler. And then we put one of our filters on it. And it's crazy, but we did that. Oh man, we're coming up on 15 years ago now.
Wow.
And that house is still inside the ductwork. You can shine a flashlight down it, and it's as shiny as the day we did it. It's
amazing.
Impressive how clean that house is. And I feel bad. The lady's one that she can't hardly even go outside, but it's really cool to see what's out there. And you can do, you know, if you're really wanting clean, we can get it as clean as you want it.
I mean, and if you think about it, sometimes there is an upfront cost that, you know, you might be like, ooh, but the payoff in the long run.
Right. Yeah.
It is really important.
And what we see typically kill AC systems is dirt. You know, the coils get dirty, the blowers get dirty, all these things. And then when they get dirt and they already have moisture in them by their nature of what they do, so any mold spores that are in there, which there's mold spores in everything we breathe, they start to grow. So you've got the dirt along with the growing mold spores, and all this stuff kind of starts to clog up airflow, reduce airflow through the blower. Then that starts to affect our refrigeration cycle, and that affects our compressor, and so on and so on. So most of the time what we see actually kill an AC unit is dirt in the end of the day.
Do you find that some homes, some people have units that are just too big?
Oh yeah, find that a lot actually. And it's pretty easy to tell. The moisture level is always a little higher than it should be. And a lot of times that's ironically why the system's too big. That particular customer, what we usually hear from them is, oh, I got to get it down to 72 or 71 in here to be comfortable. Well, it's because your moisture level's so high. If the moisture level was lower where it should be, you would be comfortable at 74, 75, 76. But when you elevate the moisture level, you have to lower the temperature to get comfortable. And even people that, another common thing we hear a lot are people that sleep at night, and when the fan kicks on, they're cool, they're comfortable. And as soon as the fan kicks off, they're hot, and they got to kick off the sheets, and then they pull it back on. That's a moisture problem.
Or you're living humidity. With a woman who is over.
Yeah, it's typically a moisture problem. And funny you say that. A lot of times that scenario where you got one partner likes to sleep hotter or colder than the other, if you get the humidity down, both are a whole lot happier with an in-between
happy
temperature.
Happy wife, happy wife.
That's
happy
right.
Life.
That's right.
There's nothing that rhymes with husband, so we're just going to, we have to pick on the wives, right?
We just got
to
do what we're told.
I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. If you want to be part of the conversation, 850-437, and we have a really fabulous expert in here today, Travis from Climatech Pro Air. So don't hold back on those questions. Now's the time.
Call in. We love to have questions. And everybody's house is different, and that's one of the reasons we like doing this. You know, there's no one answer I could come on and give, or we'd just post everything on the website, and that'd be the end of it. But everybody's house is different. Everybody's comfort level is different. That's why we don't charge anything to go out and look. You know, if you've got a particular problem in your house that you don't know what it might be or can it be solved, we don't charge anything to come out and look at it and talk to you, just like we're talking here on this show about what your house does differently than everybody else's, or what you want to do and why it may be perfectly feasible or it may not be a good idea. We talk about that kind of stuff with customers all the time, and that's something that anybody's welcome to call in, whether they want to do it on the show or call and I'll come out.
And would you agree that, if someone has an older home, they shouldn't hold back and worry about, you know, do I need that work? Do I just need, you know, what do I need? Because you're going to have that answer.
There's a lot of solutions for older homes. And there's some things you have to be careful of with older homes, too, because they were built different. They breathe, is what I refer to it as breathing. They have a lot of leaks, you know, the older windows. If you've still got old windows, uninsulated floors, things like that, air comes through all of that, and it's not totally a bad thing, but you got to know what you're dealing with, because if you take a standard old home and don't insulate the floor, and then you've got somebody that wants to live at 72 degrees, the underside of that floor is going to mold, and it won't take long.
Yeah.
So those are just things to consider. You know, maybe insulation's a better idea than a bigger unit, and a lot of times that is the case. Most times it is. I had that discussion with a guy at a house that was like a 1908 house, I believe it was, this past week.
Well, before we were born.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful place, and you know, you don't want to see it messed up, because the lady that lived there was very comfortable at 80 degrees, 78 degrees. That's where she kept it. Now they're wanting to turn it into an Airbnb, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Before you do that, let's make sure some things are covered, because you don't want to ruin your house. It's been here that long.
Right. Wow. No, you don't.
No.
You want to preserve that, but you also want it to be functional and
it's
comfortable for people.
Yes, the beautiful old single-pane glass windows.
Oh, wow.
That I love them. They're gorgeous, but they're not very energy efficient. No. So you kind of got to you got to determine which one's more important to you. But either way, when you make your determinations as what's going to be there, you know, base your cooling system on that. This type of weather we're having right now, where you've got high humidity, high heat outside, the cooler and the lower you get the humidity inside, the more those two airs are trying to mix, just like high pressure and low pressure. So if we get it really cold and really dry inside, and it's really hot, really wet outside, without any wind blowing, that hot, moist air from outside is doing everything it can to get inside that house.
Right.
So any cracks and crevices we have, that transfer is increased the further those two get apart. So if we've got 70 and 100 outside, those two are really trying to get to each other. And any cracks and crevices, you're going to start seeing little things sweat. You're going to start seeing little dirt streaks where air is actually whistling in through cracks in the windows and things. So it's things you may not think about, but we just make them worse when we get that big difference.
I mean, I have a new house, so there better not be any whistling happening.
Well, newer houses are typically tighter, but we're seeing some crazy things in newer houses. For example, talked to a guy yesterday. We had it's a brand new house, just turned the AC on last week, and we have to install backdraft dampers now in the exhaust fans. The exhaust fans in your bathroom come with a little flap damper to try to keep air from coming backwards through the fan. They don't seal up very well at all. So we install nicer ones with gaskets on them that actually seal up well. Well, we forgot to put one in, and just from that house sitting there, that AC, the exhaust vent has water dripping out of it.
Oh, wow.
And it's that bad. And it's because we've got such a dry, cool air inside and the hot air outside. Without that damper in there, there's enough air getting past it that cool fan is starting to condensate and drip.
I just want my house to be cool enough where, like, those little black bugs with the little pinchers decide they don't want to find their way in.
Good luck. We've had enough rain this year that everything's looking for a way out.
I'm like, where are these things coming from?
Wow.
That's so funny. So speaking of that, what is a good habit for a homeowner to get into when it comes to annual maintenance or things that they should do throughout the year? And should they have you come out annually to take a look at their
units? We recommend having us come out a couple times a year, once in the fall, once in the spring. Let us check the things that a homeowner doesn't want to check or can't check. As far as homeowners themselves go, keeping the drain line outside, even the pipe itself, if you want to vacuum that and put your vinegar in it, that's fine. But making sure that pipe has a free flow, you know, a lot of times we'll go out and the pipe's actually covered in mud or leaves or whatever. And then the outside unit, a lot of them we find have a lot of bushes growing right up into them or against them, and they need to breathe. Another big thing is over the top of the outdoor unit needs to be free for that heat to get up and get out. A lot of times they're tucked up under an eave or a bush, and then we find that heat just recirculating in that outside air. We want to make sure those things can breathe well. Obviously, filters is something that the homeowner does themselves, and that's something you want to keep on top of, realizing that this time of year your unit's running a lot more hours per day than it is, you know, in the other times. So right now you may go through a filter even more than once a month, and that's okay, but keep an eye on those things and make sure your filter's staying clean.
What are our sayings about the filters?
Oh, you're talking about if you don't have what I forgot how it actually goes. That's Todd.
I'm like, I know.
Just talked about it last week. He'll probably text it in now.
That's cute. Part of it's in my head. You are one. Okay.
Yeah, if you don't have a good filter, you are one.
That's right. I don't want to be the filter. I mean, one of the things that, honestly, moving here, my allergies have changed and everything, which is great because I don't need to purchase anything to be able to breathe better. But when I first moved to the Midwest, my boyfriend had turned on the AC or whatever, and I was like, what are you doing? He's like, give it a minute. And it actually was helpful. He balanced out the humidity in the air, and my nose was happy.
Oh, yeah. Humidity can play tricks on your nose for sure.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thought he was crazy for a minute.
Yeah, but it is. And on the, you know, it's funny about being a filter, but actually what becomes your first filter once things get through your filter that you have is your coil. And that's something that in some cases the homeowners can kind of inspect them themselves. They're not real fun to do because it's back behind your filter in most houses that have them in an attic. But your coil winds up catching all the dirt and the mold, and that's where everything starts to grow. That's where we start to see big problems. That's the kind of stuff we need to keep an eye on and make sure stays clean. Because when that thing starts to clog up, you just don't get the cooling you should, the efficiency you should, and you've got the dirty air to deal with.
Yeah, that's no fun. We bought a house, about 5 years at about now, out in the Midwest, and the homeowner never took care of their ductwork or anything, and I mean, it was filthy.
Right.
And I'm just like, ooh, how did you got children that were living in this home? How did you breathe? And I bet they had a lot of
Yeah, they get used to it, or they either get used to it or don't realize where it's coming from. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen that where I take an air handler apart to inspect it, and they're telling me that they've got these severe allergies to mold, and I take the door off, and it's full of mold. I mean, just full of it. And it's like, I don't know if it's an allergy or just you have so much of it in your home.
Your doctor might be upset with me, but I have now solved your problem.
Yeah, they're kind of, I mean, it's tucked away. It's not something you go in and inspect. And a lot of times the majority of people that call us, their unit hadn't been looked at in 7-8 years. And it's like, when you open that door, it's, there's a lot going on in there.
Ooh, so. Especially in this area. I mean, those units are just, they're vital.
Yeah,
to this
area. It is. And mold, you know, became a four-letter word. But we don't really think about it is literally everywhere. And when they're checking for mold in your home, they're not just checking to see if you have mold. They're checking to see if the mold level in your home is higher than the mold level outside.
Ooh.
Because we know we have mold.
Right.
There is no mold. So we know we have it to deal with. So that's why it's important to filter it out. Keep it clean, keep an eye on it, because if it gets out of hand, then you've got a problem.
And you can't always see the mold.
It's, correct.
You know, I think everybody thinks of, I forgot her name, whoever that woman was. It was a movie made out of her, about her. But anyways, she ended up having black mold in her home, and it just destroyed it. But people think, you know, so everybody in their mind's like, black mold, but there's other molds out there.
Oh, yeah, there's tons.
Aaron Brockovich, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, there's tons of them. And a lot of them are not deadly or even all that harmful, but in large quantities, they're very agitating.
Right.
And that's what most people don't like. Right. So, it's something that you just have to keep under control. And by keeping the moisture levels under control, even if we do have mold, it can't grow outside of where we're putting moisture. So that's another big benefit to keeping our mold level or our moisture level where it needs to be.
Do you think a good unit helps?
Absolutely.
During the Olympics or football season? Because I know that watching my boyfriend, he gets super heated. He's yelling a lot. His face gets red.
Yeah, it depends on who your team is. That's a tricky question that could get me probably in a lot of trouble.
It's just you and I here and a bunch of listeners.
That's right.
No, we won't tell anybody.
No, we wouldn't bring up college football. That'd be crazy. I think that starts this month, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, actually, University of West Florida was in here just before you talking about football and all their sports and very, very cool community. I mean,
I played baseball out there. That was a cool place. Been a long time ago.
Just last year. No big deal.
Yeah. Not quite.
This area in general, just for sports and community activities, it was awesome.
This is a huge sports town, and we've got a ton of talent in this area. It's crazy.
You have a ton of talent and a lot of heart in this area.
Absolutely.
And a lot of great experts. Thank you so much for coming
today. Always a pleasure.
It's always fun having you.
Enjoyed it.
You didn't pay me to say that.
Thanks again.